This podcast is, of course, made possible through the support of our members and from Dartmouth Hitchcock. Imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community with convenient locations throughout northern New England. World-class providers are closer than you think. Visit dartmouthhitchcock.org to learn more. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. As Donald Trump prepares to accept the Republican presidential nomination tonight, it's worth remembering that it was New Hampshire which gave the real estate magnate his first big win back in February. After the Granite State, Trump went on to upend conventional political thinking, winning state after state. But the divisions we've seen nationally over Trump's nomination have also been seen here. This week, a small group of New Hampshire delegates were involved in the unsuccessful Never Trump movement on the convention floor, while other New Hampshire party leaders didn't even go to Cleveland, including the state's top two Republicans, Senator Kelly Ayotte and Congressman Frank Ginta. Still, Trump's many New Hampshire supporters are fired up about their candidate, the new direction they say he represents, and their unifying desire to defeat Hillary Clinton. Today in The Exchange, it's a Granite State take on the GOP convention, and let's hear from you. Your thoughts, comments, questions are welcome at 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We have three guests with us. Chris Galdieri is with us in studio, assistant professor in the Department of Politics at St. Anselm College. Also, Dante Scala, associate professor of political science at UNH. And he's co-author of the book, The Four Faces of the Republican Party. And joining us from Cleveland, Josh Rogers, NHPR's senior political reporter. Again, he's at the convention center there. And Josh, I did want to start with you. What's the big message from New Hampshire Republicans at the convention about the Trump-Pence ticket?
Well, the big message from the New Hampshire Republicans and from Republicans nationally thus far, the one they all agree on, seems to be Donald Trump and Mike Pence are infinitely better than Hillary Clinton. We're hearing variants on that from pretty much everyone who speaks at the podium, and that's something that, despite some of the divisions you mentioned, everybody with a Republican hat on here can agree on.
Well, and here's a little clip from Jennifer Horn. She's the chair of the state party, speaking with our Morning Edition host, Rick Ganley, this week, saying, you know, Republicans are fired up about the prospect of defeating Hillary Clinton. Let's hear.
There is a lot of excitement in our party right now moving forward. We feel that we're very well positioned to make the argument, as Chris Christie said last night, to prosecute the case against Hillary Clinton. You know, this whole convention has been about making very clear that the American people have two choices in this race. There are two directions we can go. It could be the same old failed policies of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, the same miserable past that we've had for the past 8 years, or it can be a new direction and a new opportunity for America to truly fulfill her potential.
Okay, so again, that's Jennifer Horn, chair of the New Hampshire Republican Party. Chris Galdieri, what's the message you're hearing from New Hampshire Republicans and national Republicans at this convention?
Well, yeah, I think we're hearing so much criticism of Hillary Clinton because the Republicans do have something of a problem in that, in addition to the Never Trump folks who are steadfastly against Donald Trump, even though he's now the nominee, you also have a lot of, you know, wavering Republicans who are uncertain about Donald Trump. And I think, you know, this distrust and this dislike for Hillary Clinton that has been an article of faith with Republicans going back to, you know, the early 1990s is really the one thing that brings this party together today.
Dante Scala, what do you make of New Hampshire's small role in this Never Trump effort?
It's small, and it, you know, it really goes back to the primary itself, because months ago, you know, everyone thought that at some point the Never Trump support people will rally around someone and there'll be a Trump alternative. But really, Donald Trump and New Hampshire are bound at the hip. New Hampshire restored Donald Trump to be the front runner after he lost in Iowa. And the Never Trump people were just never able to get their act together here in New Hampshire, in part because there were so many candidates to choose from. And then things just went downhill from there. And they were just – and just this effort, I'm sure in their own eyes, was a noble gesture. But that's all it turned out to be because, like it or not, Donald Trump really got support from the mainstream of Republican voters, including right here in New Hampshire.
Well, and spoken as the co-author again of the new book, The Four Faces of the Republican Party. So just remind us, Dante, who were those Republicans here in New Hampshire that went for Donald Trump so strongly? I mean, he got 30% of the votes, a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the striking thing about Donald Trump supporters, and this really leapt out at me after looking at the exit polls after New Hampshire, was that Trump pulled from all different aspects and segments of the party, from moderates all the way to very conservative voters. So unlikely as it seemed at the time, he was the one candidate who was able to put together a coalition, a plurality, not a majority, but a plurality of different stripes of Republican voters in a way that John Kasich wasn't able to, or Ted Cruz wasn't able to, or Marco Rubio wasn't able to.
Josh, I'd love your thoughts on this Never Trump movement, especially those who were involved there at the convention from New Hampshire. It fizzled out pretty quickly.
Well, there's this sort of Never Trump formally, and then there's kind of like Never Trump sort of sub rosa. And, you know, certainly some of the hard feelings this week were among those folks were that, you know, the Trump people probably had the votes to win. And so some of this was a sort of a process thing. Like, why didn't they let us put this to a vote? We would probably lose anyway. And so there was sort of complaints about process. And then, you know, there is kind of a, for lack of a better term, a kind of cultural chasm between some of the people who are steadfastly against Donald Trump and the Trump enthusiasts. I mean, some of it has to do with Trump's jettisoning of a lot of sort of Republican orthodoxies on policy, on trade is a big one, and on entitlements is another. And so there is that, and then some of it is just like these folks don't know each other that well at this point. I mean, it's very telling when you hang out with a New Hampshire delegation, a lot of the more senior members of the party who have been to multiple Republican conventions, they're not staying out here where the delegates are staying and have had very little contact. You talk to people who have been around and they say, well, you know, I don't know a lot of these people. And so and the people who are supportive of Trump, you know, they didn't necessarily come up in the same, you know, with the sort of normative pressure of being a good, you know, Republican in the way that some of the more old line folks have. And so it's an interesting dynamic.
How much has that been, Chris Galdieri, part of Donald Trump's success nationally and here in New Hampshire? You know, as Josh tells us, a lot of the old guard, traditional Republicans, people who've known each other for a long time, haven't been quite sure what to do with his candidacy. And yet, as we heard from Jennifer Horn, the state party chair, it's a new direction, it's new energy, it's new people.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that gets back to the operating principle of the Trump campaign from day one has been that Trump is not a politician. He is an outsider. He is not like all those other Republicans. He doesn't run a conventional campaign. He's not running a conventional convention. I apologize for putting those two words in that order.
Conventional convention.
And, you know, there are a lot of people, it turns out, who vote in Republican primaries who found that really appealing, who don't, as Josh said, really have any institutional loyalty to the party in the sense of being a good Republican. But they heard what Donald Trump was saying. They liked it. And so a lot of them voted in a primary for maybe the first or second time, even though they tend to regularly vote in general elections.
Go ahead, Dante.
Yeah, I think if you were a Mitt Romney supporter in 2012 and you pulled a Rip Van Winkle and you fell asleep after 12 and you woke up, you know, last night to watch the convention and see what was going on, and you'd see some familiar things. You know, you might see Paul Ryan and say, oh, Paul Ryan, speaker, that looks normal. But then you'd see all these things that were just very odd, and you might think you were still dreaming.
Like, and what, Dante?
Well, you know, one, gosh, who's the nominee? Donald Trump, really? But then also just, you know, the absence of a lot of establishment Republican figures. I mean, we've seen in this kind of roster of convention speakers relatively few Republican office holders compared to previous years, and a lot of people from far outside the party establishment. So that would be unfamiliar. But also, as Chris was saying, you know, the tone, the style. The Republican Party is very much at sea right now, and it's a rare thing to see a major political party in such internal chaos as we're watching right now. I mean, it's a rare thing when it happens, and it goes far beyond Donald Trump. this is – I mean, it is – Trump was masterful at exploiting the cracks in the party. But the cracks are there, and they're going to be there 4 years from now, regardless of whether Donald Trump is president or a failed nominee.
Well, and next week we'll be talking about the Democrats and their convention and possible cracks in their party, too. I want to invite our listeners to join us. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Today in the exchange, it's a Granite State take on the GOP convention. Dante Scala is here, associate professor of political science at UNH, author of the book The Four Faces of the Republican Party, co-author of that book. Chris Galdieri is with us in studio, assistant professor in the Department of Politics at St. Anselm College. And joining us from the Republican convention in Cleveland is NHPR's senior political reporter, Josh Rogers. One more time, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Well, guys, lots to talk about in terms of this convention, what's been happening day by day, how New Hampshire plays into that. And I do have to ask you before we go much further, Josh, about the reaction there in Cleveland among New Hampshire delegates to Texas Senator and former presidential candidate Ted Cruz and his non-endorsement of Donald Trump last night. That was a big headline this morning.
Well, they were surprised in the main, I think. I don't think that, you know, the uproar in the convention hall was legitimate. The booing was loud. People expected, you know, you were listening to the speech, the people expected him to sort of turn the corner and say, you know, it's important to get out to vote and it's important to support Donald Trump. That didn't happen. It's obvious out here, and it's obvious among a lot of the delegates that, you know, Ted Cruz and also John Kasich are kind of looking towards 2020. And the degree to which that's conspicuous at this convention is conspicuous. Both those fellows were out making the scene with delegates. Neither are endorsing Trump. You know, Ted Cruz, you know, you could question Donald Trump's choice to allow Ted Cruz to be the speaker directly before, you know, step on Mike Pence's message and questions about whether he knew what Cruz was going to say. But it is very interesting. I mean, Cruz this morning is acting a little defensive about what he did, but he's not saying he's voting for Donald Trump. He's, you know, repeating, well, I'm not going to be voting for Hillary Clinton. So it's a really weird situation.
Well, let's hear a little bit from Senator Cruz, and then I want to get our guests in studio's thoughts as well.
If you love our country and love your children as much as I know that you do, stand and speak and vote your conscience. Vote for candidates up and down the ticket who you trust to defend our freedom and to be faithful to the Constitution.
Okay, so Dante Scala, it seems like he's getting ready to say vote for Donald Trump, but he never says it.
Right, exactly. And he says, you know, vote your conscience, which is a pretty clear code for if you don't want to vote for Donald Trump, you have my blessing on that, and it's okay not to do it, which, you know, for someone to be saying that, a major speaker on the third night of the party convention, right before the vice presidential nominee comes up, again, it's we haven't seen anything like that or even close to it since Ted Kennedy in 1980 when he was facing off against Jimmy Carter and he had a convention speaking slot. So this again, conventions are supposed to be very scripted, right? We all say, well, nothing ever happens at conventions. So this is what happens when they're not scripted. This is what happens when a party has cracks that are so wide that you can't script over them. And now, you know, Ted Cruz, all during the primaries, he got support from one faction of the party. It was the very conservative faction. And he was always anti-establishment in his own way. Remember, he and Trump were actually pals for quite a while because they both saw themselves as anti-establishment. And last night, believe it or not, Ted Cruz was being the anti-establishment figure because the establishment right now, those delegates were booing because they're Trump supporters.
Well, and Chris Galdieri, Josh mentioned, you know, some people already talking about 2020, Ted Cruz, John Kasich, who is conspicuously not attending, even though the convention is taking place in his home state. Does Cruz and perhaps Kasich as well pay a political price for this, for, you know, not being good doobies and going along?
I think they are making a calculation that they will not pay a price for it. I think they are operating under the assumption that Trump will lose the fall election. And if that happens, Kasich figures he will benefit from being conspicuously absent from this. I think Cruz is making the calculation that if Donald Trump goes down in flames this fall, that he will be able to go into the primaries in 2020 and say, I was the one who stood up to Donald Trump. I was the one who went into the heart of the lion's den and stood up on that stage on national television and refused to endorse him. I don't know that that's actually going to be a successful strategy for him. It will probably help him with, you know, editors of magazines like National Review and The Weekly Standard. But as we saw this spring and this winter, they don't necessarily deliver a whole lot of votes in Republican primaries.
Well, and all of you mentioned that Ted Cruz spoke before the VP nominee, Mike Pence, kind of taking some of the wind out of his sails. He did give his speech late last night, very well received by the audience, from what I understand. Josh, how about New Hampshire Republicans there in Cleveland? How are they feeling about vice presidential nominee Mike Pence?
I mean, generally, I think they feel it's they see the logic of the pick, that it balances the ticket. You know, he's not the sort of politician who would tend to do terribly well in New Hampshire if he were on the ballot there. I mean, you don't hear politicians in New Hampshire often identifying themselves as a Christian, conservative, and Republican in that order. But they like his record of conservative accomplishment in their eyes, a, you know, solid politician. How much a vice presidential pick really matters is an open question. Oftentimes there's so much speculation about who's it going to be, what's it going to mean, and then once they're there, it's kind of like, okay. But in the main, people thought that Mike Pence did a decent job and that he, you know, was a nice kind of contrast to Donald Trump, bringing balance to the ticket.
Go ahead, Dante. New Hampshire Republicans and Mike Pence.
Yeah, you could see I think Mike Pence is someone whom New Hampshire Republican elites say, oh, we could do business with Mike Pence. I mean, we saw that with Speaker Paul Ryan's introduction or discussion of Trump versus Pence. When he talked about Trump, he said, well, we all make choices and we've made ours, so let's deal with it. Whereas when he introduced Mike Pence, he said, I couldn't be happier to introduce this person. And so you could, and I think that was the, you know, for Republican elites, they say, well, okay, Mike Pence at least resembles what we're used to as normalcy in the Republican Party. And he gave a speech that was a very normal vice presidential speech, perfectly sturdy, not too remarkable, just perfect.
More of a Granite State take on the GOP convention in just a moment. Let's check in quickly with our summer car raffle. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, how do events and themes from the RNC convention resonate here in New Hampshire? Let's get your thoughts. 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Today, it's a New Hampshire take on the Republican convention in Cleveland. And our guests are Josh Rogers, NHPR's senior political reporter. He is at the GOP convention in Ohio. Also with me in studio, Chris Galdieri, assistant professor in the Department of Politics at St. Anselm College. Dante Scala, associate professor of political science at UNH. Also co-author of the book, The Four Faces of the Republican Party. One more time, the exchange number for you to join us with your comments, questions, thoughts, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Josh, there at the convention, who are Trump's biggest supporters from the very start that you've been watching and talking to?
Fred Doucette, a state rep, is a co-chairman of his local campaign and a delegate. Steve Stepanek, another state rep. His other co-chairman, State Rep Al Baldessaro, is certainly, excuse me, one of his loudest and, you know, more controversial supporters of late. And a lot of people who are new to politics are out here, who were inspired by Donald Trump, got involved. Corey Lewandowski, I haven't actually talked to Corey. He was obviously his manager and a delegate from New Hampshire. But most of these people, the big supporters, are outsiders. It is true that, as Dante noted earlier, that, you know, if you look at who voted for Trump and who ultimately has gotten on board with him, I mean, it does, you know, span the party. But at the same time, the people who are most excited by him are people who say they believe that Donald Trump is a non-politician who will shake things up and change the way politics are practiced.
Well, and let's talk a little bit more about that. And Dante did touch on that earlier. But Josh, to you, so new people, bringing them into the party, this is certainly what Mr. Trump has talked a lot about, that is the strength of his campaign, that he's bringing in those outsiders into the process. What are some of the issues that have brought them in, Josh? What draws them to participate in this way?
Well, certainly some of it is immigration and trade. A lot of it, though, is attitude. I mean, they, you know, it's sort of like a broken record to the extent to which people say, you know, Donald Trump tells it like it is. He says what people think and don't say. I don't know how many times I've been told that. So a lot of it is really a matter of style. And that's one thing that I think caught Republicans and a lot of members of the media by surprise is, you know, having covered campaigns, you figure ultimately a candidate who doesn't share a party's orthodoxies will ultimately be discarded. That was something that Donald Trump's rivals certainly banked on. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about the so-called loyalty pledge that Republican candidates took early on, and that was, you know, it largely issued to kind of box in Donald Trump from not potentially leaving the party for a third party run. And, you know, Chris Christie told people yesterday that, you know, they all took it expecting that he would fall by the wayside. You know, Christie said he's willing to honor the pledge. Obviously, you know, Ted Cruz and John Kasich aren't at this point. But, you know, for Trump supporters, it's as much an attitude as it is issues.
Well, and since you're mentioning past presidential candidates, you know, that we got to know pretty well here in New Hampshire during the primary, Josh. So you mentioned John Kasich not attending, Ted Cruz. We talked about him just a few minutes ago, not endorsing Donald Trump. Who among these presidential candidates that we got to know in February, who among them has been making a splash there at the convention?
Well, I mean, certainly John Kasich's role as the host governor, who's not at the convention, but, you know, hobnobbing with delegates, promising to boost Republicans up and down the ticket. He had a reception for New Hampshire delegates yesterday that some of the Trump people boycotted because they believe he's being disloyal, at which he sort of, you know, ticked through a laundry list of things, you know, kind of emblems of the New Hampshire primer and how much he loved it. Dixville Notch, Roby's Country Store, Scam and Farm, you know, telling anecdotes about longtime Republican Ruth Griffin pledging to be back to boost Kelly Ayotte, but, you know, also potentially as a candidate should Donald Trump founder. And Scott Walker, he just spoke to the delegates at breakfast. He was, you know, as is his wont, pretty focused on making the point that, you know, in his estimation, Hillary Clinton is disqualified to be president. Obviously, he wasn't supportive of Donald Trump throughout the primary, but is, you know, on board now, you know, says essentially it's a binary choice, which is, you know, the line we're getting from Republicans. You know, Chris Christie was in sort of an, you know, he's been in sort of an awkward role, first guy to endorse Trump and, you know, kind of left at the, you know, we'll see where he ends up, but certainly not, you know, not a vice presidential pick. And, you know, delegates are also being visited by people, other people who could run down the line. Tom Cotton, you know, conservative senator from Arkansas, gave a speech that was very well received to the delegates. Joni Ernst, a senator from Iowa, paid a visit. Her speech was mostly focused on talking of Kelly Ayotte, but, you know, she also ticked through her resume. So, you know, this is a time when national Republicans reach out to the people in early states who could be helpful to them down the line. And so there's been a lot of that going on here as well.
Well, and Dante, I'd love your thoughts on that, too. It's real interesting. Usually the candidates who run for president here in New Hampshire at the convention, they all come together. But here we have, you know, half a dozen people taking it differently. Chris Christie giving a very vigorous speech earlier this week. Scott Walker giving a speech. Marco Rubio kind of phoning it in. Ted Cruz, you know, dropping that bombshell that he dropped last night, not endorsing Donald Trump fully. John Kasich not even attending. What do you make of this sort of extremely mixed reaction among former presidential candidates?
Well, I think they're all still sitting there wondering, how do we lose to this guy exactly? And they all have different, probably different answers and different conclusions as to why they lost, which helps to explain why they're doing the things they're doing this week in terms of whether they're ignoring Donald Trump or whether they're nearly confronting Donald Trump as Ted Cruz did or whether you're phoning in a video like Marco Rubio did. They're all trying to figure out exactly whether Trump is a durable phenomenon and really not so much Trump, but Trump voters. Like now is there, you know, to use my book's title, is there a fifth face of the Republican Party no one saw until this year, and are they going to have to deal with it going forward regardless of whether there's a President Trump? And I think that creates all the variety in the different responses, because no one's convinced he can win. So they're thinking 2020 is a real option, but they don't quite know what to do with all of these, you know, voters who seem attracted to this person.
So we maybe need to write a fifth chapter, Dante, right? The five faces of the Republican Party.
Yeah, it's occurred to me over the past few months to toss it and start all over.
Chris, I got to ask you about this, too. Again, it's interesting for New Hampshire listeners because we did get to know these folks pretty well when they were up here campaigning.
Yes. I think Dante is onto something, that they all have their different theories of why they lost and their different theories of what Donald Trump means. And I think some of them, I think Scott Walker definitely falls into this category, have decided that if they want to have a future in Republican politics, one way to do that is to make sure that no Trump supporter can look at them and say, you are the reason Trump didn't win. And I think if you look at someone like Walker, who was very steadfastly opposed to Trump in the primaries, now coming out as strongly for Trump as he has, I think that is in part him buying insurance for his future presidential ambitions, should he have any.
Again, our phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. One of the longtime supporters of Donald Trump here in the Granite State that Josh, you mentioned, is Al Baldessaro, is now being talked to by the Secret Service for some comments he made about Hillary Clinton. Here's Baldessaro talking to a Boston radio station earlier this week. These are the comments that got him into trouble, and we'll talk about that in a second. Here's Representative Baldessaro. He's talking about Hillary Clinton's role as Secretary of State during the raid on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. Let's hear.
Hillary Clinton, to me, is the Jane Fonda of the Vietnam. She is a disgrace. For any lie, the lies that she told those mothers about their children that got killed over there in Benghazi. She dropped the ball on over 400 emails requesting backup security. Something's wrong there. I wish they'd made the documents public on why Anderson was the Ambassador Anderson. You know, because in my mind, I want to think that were they moving guns? Were they doing something there? How did they know he was even there? This whole thing disgusts me. Hillary Clinton should be put in the firing line and shot for treason.
Again, that's Al Baldessaro, Republican state rep, in an interview with WRKO in Boston. And Josh, just remind us, why is the Secret Service investigating this? And what more have you heard from the New Hampshire folks?
Well, if you mention that a presidential candidate should be shot, you know, they're going to look into it, I think, is a safe assumption.
And she gets Secret Service protection, too, right, as a former first lady?
Yes, as well as a nominee. And so, you know, obviously that's a comment that goes, you know, well beyond the comments we've been hearing all week long, the chance of, you know, sort of guilty, lock her up. In some ways, you could view this as the ultimate extension of that sentiment. But I do think this, you know, this falls into a totally different category. I mean, it's interesting that Representative Baldessaro is kind of unbowed in the face of this. He said, you know, you can't believe the liberal media, kind of not what I said. I mean, you can hear what he said on the tape. And you know, the Trump campaign has had to react. You know, the word this morning at the breakfast, we're talking to some of the high up Trump delegates, were saying that, you know, assuring that, you know, essentially the boss, meaning Trump, has got Al's back on this. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, he's a person who's made controversial comments at the State House on any number of topics. But, you know, with Donald Trump's rise, his profile has risen as well. He's actually, you know, traveled the country as kind of a veterans ambassador for Trump. And unlike the other delegates, he's staying downtown with the Trump people closer to the site. You know, the sort of hoi polloi delegates are out here in Westlake with me.
So there's sort of a pecking order of delegates, and the ones who are in the biggest favor hotels.
Well, or? I mean, certainly the, you know, not everyone, you know, stays with the delegation. I mean, there were a number of the more establishment folks who were with Kasich who were also staying closer into the convention site, but. you know, the Al Baldassare is, you know, become part of, you know, a kind of cadre of supporters, you know, ultra loyal to Trump, who have been deployed in campaign roles that, you know, transcend their role simply in New Hampshire.
Well, Dante, State Republican Party Chair Jennifer Horn criticized Baldassare for those comments, but Democratic Chair Ray Buckley said Horn should go further, force him to resign from the delegation. Help us sort that out.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of old-fashioned about politics, and I tend to think, despite a lot of people would disagree with me, that politics is an honorable profession and that there are standards that politicians follow and that they have a tough job. You know, public figures like Representative Baldassare or Senator Ayotte, it's a tough job and they don't get the respect they deserve. And one of the reasons it's an honorable profession is because we fight with each other politically, but we do it peacefully. And at the end of the day, on election night, we decide that we make the decision with ballots, not bullets. And then the next day, we go back to our business and things are peaceful and quiet. And so that, to me, is what made Representative Baldassare's remarks so despicable. Because once you cross that line, I think there actually are lines that you can cross in politics, and you advocate violence against a political opponent, I think it smudges that line and it makes it just a little more normal for the next person. And so to me, that's what puts Baldassare's remarks, as Josh said, in a category by itself. It goes way beyond controversy and being blunt and being outspoken. You might as well burn an American flag as well as say what he said, because that's as egregious a violation of democratic norms, in my view, as doing that.
So as someone who loves the American political process, Dante, should Jennifer Horn tell Al Baldassare to go home?
Well, you know what? There's a simple answer to that. A simpler answer to that is that Representative Baldassare is on the ballot in September. And he's a five-term representative from Londonderry and actually a leading vote-getter in Londonderry, which is quite a Republican-leaning area. He's on the ballot. And I guess if it were me, I don't live in Londonderry, and I wouldn't claim to speak for them. But the citizens of Londonderry have a choice about, you know, the representatives that they have going into the fall.
We will talk more in just a moment. Lots more to catch up on. A granite stake take on the GOP convention. That's our topic today in The Exchange. Let's check in now with our summer car raffle. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's a Granite State perspective on the GOP convention with Donald Trump's acceptance speech tonight. Let's hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Your questions, comments, thoughts are welcome at 1-800-892-6477. Again, email exchange at nhpr.org. Our guests are Josh Rogers, NHPR's senior political reporter. He's at the GOP convention in Cleveland. With me in studio, Chris Galdieri, assistant professor in the Department of Politics at St. Anselm College, and Dante Scala, associate professor of political science at UNH, a fellow at UNH's Carsey Institute, and co-author of the book, The Four Faces of the Republican Party. One more time, the exchange number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Again, email is exchange at nhpr.org. And Josh Rogers, there have been a couple themes at the convention. Every night's had a specific theme. Monday was Make America Safe Again. Tuesday was Make America Work Again. Wednesday was Make America First Again. Tonight is Make America One Again. What policies have you heard over the last 3 days that tie up with those themes, Josh? You know, sometimes conventions are mostly a chance for people to say hooray for us and hooray for the nominee, but sometimes you do hear major policy ideas being put out there. What have you heard, Josh?
Well, that hasn't really been the stress. I mean, certainly that's the way these days have been billed. But if you were to tick through the speakers, you know, the thematically it's wandered around a bit. I mean, the one constant has been, you know, we can't have Hillary Clinton president. And, you know, some of that may be that you know, a lot of Republicans have been, you know, unsure of where Trump stands on policy. I mean, certainly adding Mike Pence to the ticket may shore up some of those doubts, particularly among conservatives I talk to. But, I mean, this hasn't been a convention, in my mind, that's been driven by big policy positions. It's been, you know, this will change things if we elect Donald Trump. This will get America, you know, sort of back up on its hind legs and, you know, taking and being more aggressive, defending its interests globally, economically, and also globally militarily, and you know, helping people get jobs has certainly been a stress as well.
So, Josh, if there were one big theme, it's basically two big things themes I've heard, but I'd love for you to correct me. One is time for a new direction. And Hillary Clinton doesn't represent that. And two, let's defeat Hillary Clinton. Those seem to be the two biggies.
I think you've got it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Chris, policy, make America safe, make America work, make America first. Have you heard any specific policy ideas coming out of the speeches and so forth?
From the convention itself, not very much. I think the big policy story this morning that we were talking about during the break is this interview Trump gave yesterday, in which he seemed to be suggesting that if he were president, he would feel free to disregard the United States NATO treaty obligations, especially with regards to the Baltic states. And that that's a really big deal. But it's not something that came out of the convention itself. And I think if you look at the convention, you know, speeches and floor statements and that sort of thing, they've been very much focused at this point, regardless of what the night's theme on, is why Hillary Clinton should not be president. And then, you know, you get the pro-Trump speeches from his kids and from Mike Pence.
And the kids have gotten good reviews.
They have gotten good reviews, yes.
Yeah, very sort of well-spoken and present themselves well and so forth and presenting a united family front. Go ahead, Dante.
Yeah, I think of probably the most wonky speech that we've heard so far, unsurprisingly, came from Speaker Paul Ryan.
I heard that right? One. It was about making America work for the poor.
Exactly. And so a lot of discussion about anti-poverty programs, how conservatives might approach anti-poverty programs, talking about economic mobility, especially for the working class. And that certainly overlaps with a theme we heard from Donald Trump in terms of worrying about forces of globalization, including economic globalization, and how that's affecting working class voters, especially in Trump's case. You know, the white working class has been especially supportive of his candidacy so far. So I would think, although as soon as I say I expect something, I should know to say the opposite. I would expect Trump to talk about that a good bit tonight in terms of reviving the American economy, that sort of thing, talking about economic mobility. That was a theme of one of Trump's son's speeches, talking about the kind of the dignity of work, how Trump is not an elitist, how he would promote people without necessarily a great pedigree within his organization. One of the more effective speeches I think we heard over the past few days.
From Eric Trump.
Exactly.
Well, and the theme, as I said tonight, as Mr. Trump accepts the nomination, is Make America One Again. And I wonder, Josh Rogers, how much of an effort folks at the convention have made to highlight people of color. Ralph Alvarado spoke last night. In fact, I've got an email from Mary who says, please comment on Ralph Alvarado, Kentucky's senator who will someday be president, representing the Latino voice at the convention. I saw one of the nights the benediction to the evening given by a guy from American Muslims for Trump. So I wonder how much effort you've seen, Josh, to bring in those minority voices at this convention.
I mean, there's been some effort, but it's Republican Party, this is an issue. I mean, the Republicans would tell you, you know, and this is something that it was repeated, that, you know, they had a more diverse presidential field than the Democrats did. But in terms of people likely to vote Republican in the fall, like it's a question as to whether they can capture, votes of non-white people and of immigrants, given some of what Mr. Trump says, and as well as just historically. I mean, it's a demographic challenge for the party that, you know, has been growing since George W. Bush, left the presidency.
Well, Mary, thank you for the email. And you can email us as well at exchange@nhpr.org or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. And all of you, I do have to ask about something that's gotten a lot of coverage here in the Granite State, and that's the fact that Frank Ginta and Kelly Ayotte chose not to attend the convention. And Josh, just lay it out for us. How unusual is that to have the state's top two Republicans Republicans not even showing up?
Well, I think it's relatively rare, but at the same time, this is going on all over the country. And, you know, if you're facing tough reelection efforts, as both of them are, you know, you're probably not going to lose out if you just say, I want to stay where the voters are here in New Hampshire and kind of tend to my knitting. And, you know, obviously both Ayotte and, you know, Ginta, you know, certainly Ginta is in a slightly different situation. I mean, Ayotte, it comes up with her a lot. You know, how do you feel about Trump? And, like, she's been in the position of this whole support but not endorse business where she, you know, wants to keep Trump at arm's length, but, you know, he's going to have an influence on what happens in her race. You know, it's a tough position that not only she's in, you know, Rob Portman, the senator from Ohio, who, you know, you've seen making the rounds, you know, often in the company of John Kasich and other Senate Republicans who are in tight elections. It's like, how close do you want to get to Trump? You know, it's a dilemma for them.
Well, here's Republican Senator, again, Kelly Ayotte, speaking to WCAX-TV earlier this week about her hopes for after the convention. Let's hear.
People will come together, and I think people will also make their own judgments. That's what we always expect in New Hampshire, and I think that will happen in this election, too. And so I think that certainly when you come through a vigorous primary, you're going to have divisions, but, you know, we'll see post-convention, I think, people come together.
Well, and Chris Caldieri, you know, people often do come together after the convention and at the convention, and there's that post-convention bounce and so forth that people often talk about. If Donald Trump and Mike Pence get that post-convention bounce, get that sort of warm, fuzzy glow that often comes out of a convention, do folks like Frank Ginta and Kelly Ayotte pay a price for not being a part of that?
Not necessarily.
You missed out.
Yeah, but I think if there is a significant bounce, especially if Trump, if you know, after both conventions and after a few weeks, it looks like the Trump has pulled into a fairly durable lead. I think folks like Kelly Ayotte have probably left themselves enough wiggle room to try to rhetorically put themselves on, you know, the Trump train, for want of a better term for it. But I think the dilemma she's facing is that that's probably unlikely in New Hampshire. New Hampshire tends to go Democratic in presidential years over the last 20 some years. And so she needs to run ahead of Trump if she wants to be reelected.
Dante?
Worth pointing out that Congressman Ginta, who represents the 1st District, he actually has endorsed Donald Trump, which is a step that Senator Ayotte never took. So even though they're both not at the convention, Ginta has been more outspoken in favor of Trump than Senator Ayotte has been.
And Josh, last question for you, and then we'll let you get back to work there at the convention. Any word that Mr. Trump might come to New Hampshire after he officially wraps up the convention and has the nomination?
No official word that he would be coming to New Hampshire directly, but there's certainly plenty of expectation that he will be coming to New Hampshire. It's one of, you know, a number of states where, you know, his folks think that he could plausibly win, and it's a state that, you know, could potentially go his way. He obviously did well here in the primary. The general election is a different ball game, but I think that, like his predecessor Republican nominees, we can expect visits through November.
Okay. Josh, thank you very much. Dante Scala, Chris Galdieri. This is The Exchange. Let's check in with our summer car raffle.